Cubberty on 2FM with Super Value Travel Insurance. Holidaying at home or abroad? Don't worry about a thing with Great Value Travel Insurance at supervalue.ie.
Let's talk to Katrina Perry now, RT's Washington correspondent. Good morning to you, Katrina.
Hi, Ryan. How are you?
You're there. I was listening to you earlier on in Morning Ireland in the middle of it all, and you hear the names there, letter for letter, word for word, describing who they are. We don't know really a whole heap about the people that were listed off there, but you can, I suppose, as much as possible, put it together for us from the beginning, really.
Well, these students all arrived over more or less about 3 weeks ago, which is the sort of usual early arrival date for J1 students coming to the US. They arrived to Berkeley in the greater San Francisco area, as about 700 Irish J1 students did this summer. A number of them come to Berkeley because the accommodation is a little bit cheaper here. It's not as kind of crazy and hectic and big as San Francisco. It's more of a student town, college vibe, smaller bars and restaurants, and very pleasant little town, I have to say. And so they all arrived out here. Mostly the students at this particular party they were at on Monday night, a 21st birthday party, were from two distinct groups of friends, a group of girls from Loretto Fox Rock and a group of guys, well, as in that had been their secondary school, they're obviously in college now, but a group of young men who had been friends since their secondary school days in St. Mary's. And they were all at this birthday party, as many J1 students do, turned 21 out here, and were enjoying themselves, enjoying life. Very pleasant summer weather here, so they were on the balcony of this particular apartment block, and for whatever reason, whatever happened, the balcony gave way and they all fell to their deaths, unfortunately. And also then, of course, there are seven others who are still in hospital in various conditions now at the moment, so their family members also en route here at the moment.
There were calls, I was listening to the police talking earlier about how there were calls had been made about noise complaints and so on, and then there was talk of shooting somewhere else, and that took the police as a priority. Were you hearing about those sorts of reports as well?
Yeah, and I mean, it's the ultimate unfortunate what if question, mm-hmm. that you know, these noise disturbances were reported, and in this area, I was speaking to some of the police officers, it borders on Oakland, which has quite a heavy crime rate, lots of shootings and severe injuries and murders there. So as soon as something that was ranked as a higher crime, a shooting, obviously higher than a noise disturbance, the police went there and didn't come here. And of course, people are saying, what if they had? What if they had come and broken up the party and made all the young people go back inside? The police said to me yesterday they weren't even sure actually that those noise disturbances came from this particular party, because the apartment block is essentially a private student residence, a sort of off-campus residence for the university here in Berkeley during term time. And then during summertime, it's rented out to international students. And it's the must-have place for Irish students apparently coming over because of its location and its cost and all the rest of it. So it's quite likely that there were a few parties going on that night, and that the noise disturbance was not necessarily, police say, coming from this party.
The next and most awful reality for the families is that plane journey over the Atlantic and over the United States, and your stomach turns to think of what they're about to land. I believe some of the family members have already started to arrive. Is that right?
Absolutely. I mean, it's a very long flight from mm-hmm. Ireland to San Francisco at the best of times. And if that's what's meeting you at the end, I mean, I can't even imagine what it's like. But some of the family members arrived about 3 hours ago or so. That's sort of the earliest time you could make it to Ireland, from Ireland to here. They were met at the airport by the Consul General, Philip Grant, and some other volunteers from the Irish American community who've stepped forward to try and help the families as best they can and look after the various logistical details and all of that. And unfortunately, their first stop was to be the mortuary, to see their young children there. Some of the family members of those injured, I'm told, have arrived as well. So they obviously went straight on to the various hospitals where the injured students are.
So what happens next? I mean, not to be cold about it, but obviously the families have to deal with the mortuary. They then have to bring their loved ones home. I mean, they're facing into this catastrophe of emotional, I suppose, horror, really.
Yeah, well, the first thing is they have to get the bodies released to them. It sounds terribly cold and clinical to be discussing it like that. But so three of the autopsies were carried out yesterday. Another three will happen today, well, tomorrow as it is here in Berkeley. And at that stage then, as soon as all the official paperwork is done with, then the bodies will be released to the families. Obviously, one of the deceased is an Irish-American, so her funeral will take place where she's from, which is about an hour north from here.
That's Ashley
later
Dunne
this
here, is
week.
It?
Yes, yeah. Ashley Dunne, sorry, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So that'll take place later this week. And then the others, as soon as they have their bodies are released to the families, they'll be making arrangements to have them brought home to Ireland. And I'm told that can be done sort of as quickly as needs to be done. And I suppose in these circumstances, you know, the full force of the Department of Foreign Affairs is helping out all of those families, and the various airlines, I'm sure, as well, will be doing the best they can.
Any word, Katrina, on the people in hospital, those who survived, as it were, this accident and are in various states of, I suppose, physical distress?
Yeah, so there are seven injured in two different hospitals at the moment. Two of them are in what's described as a critical condition, and one of those, I'm told, is actually the girl whose birthday it was, the girl who turned 21, and she's reportedly fighting for her life, so she's in quite a bad way at this time. The other five then, they're described as being in a stable condition, but, you know, they're far from okay, and at least two of them have what are described as life-changing injuries.
Which we can assume from take from that what you can imagine from a fall like that. Meanwhile, the families have to deal with what they're dealing with now, and then you've got lots of people, from what I can see from your reports and various photographs and so forth, the Irish community coming down, and you're seeing Irish flags, you're seeing a lot of people in county jerseys surveying the scenes. I presume we're probably dealing with an Irish American and at least Irish community and Holiday or J1ers in shock.
Absolutely. And you know yourself, Irish people, any part of the world like this, are fantastic at grouping together and pulling the force of the community behind them. But I have to say, it's not just the Irish and the Irish Americans here. The local community in Berkeley are just as shocked and as sad at what has happened. At one point when I was down at the scene a few hours ago, a man actually came up and said, did I know where he could make a donation to try and help the families? That, you know, he said he didn't have a lot and he was from the area, but he just felt so moved that he wanted to do something, and his way of doing something was to try and give a few dollars somewhere. And, you know, just standing where the floral tributes are at the apartment block and watching the people who are coming by, definitely a lot of them are Irish J1 students with teary eyes and shock, and, you know, what other condition would they be in? But then there's also so many local people coming by and putting flowers down as well, or candles, or, you know, saying a little prayer, or just having a quiet moment to themselves, because the scale of this tragedy is really quite something. And talking to the local police officers here, they can't remember anything in living memory that's happened this tragic in this area.
Katrina, thanks for your time this morning, and we'll be keeping an eye on your reports throughout the day and into the evening. It's we appreciate your time. Thanks a lot. Talk to you soon.
Thanks.
That's Katrina Perry reporting live there from California. And you know, as she was talking, I was just looking at the six faces throughout that interview, and you can only imagine that it just seems cruel and harsh. And I presume that all these poor young students, many of whom were at UCD, that there's going to be an outpouring of grief in the various colleges and even the schools that they were in only up till a couple of years ago. Marcus O'Halloran is the Students' Union President at UCD. Good morning, Marcus.
Morning, Ryan. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for joining us. You heard about this news, obviously, like everyone else, around lunchtime thereabouts yesterday.
Yeah, that's right. We're at a conference yesterday surrounding James Joyce, and news broke, so we came back to the office straight away. But it wasn't until later on last night that we realised how the extent of the carnage that was unfold.
What is the UCD connection to this story? If you could put it to us.
Well, obviously, with the three of the students that involved that have passed away, unfortunately, are UCD students.
And which of the three are we talking about?
It's Nicola Schuster, Emer Walsh, and Lorcan Miller.
Yeah,
are the three students.
I'm looking at them here, and they would have been part of the UCD everyday story, I suppose. It's just students going to the library, going to the canteen, doing what every student does, getting on with their lives, and then the excitement of a trip to America. I mean, you're very familiar with that story, Marcus.
Yeah, basically, yeah, three vibrant students actively involved in college life, and it's supposed to be going off living the dream for the summer, and something like this is just unimaginable.
So what can you, I mean, you're out of the academic year. What can you in UCD and the Students' Union say by way of comfort or help or assistance to students and friends of the deceased help-wise?
I suppose we'd just like to issue a statement, more so just how saddened we are by the whole thing, and that we'd like to offer our condolences to all of the lost, the loved ones and family and friends of the students. We can only extend our deepest sympathies, and that's all we can really do. But other than that, everybody, students at home and abroad, should realise that we're not just here for term time. We are here all summer as well, and we're here at the moment. We're on standby, and we're here. We have a welfare support centre. We have an advice service. We refer services to student advisors and counsellors. And at the moment, my email is 24 hours a day at president@ucdsu.ie, and all emails will be replied to, and we just want everybody to know that we're here for all of our students at the moment, and it's truly a tragic loss, but it will touch everybody, but we are here and to help in any way possible.
Yeah, all right, Marcus. Well, that sounds like a sensible thing to do, and we appreciate you taking the time, and good luck with all of that. Keep an eye on all those students you have there, so, and we'll talk to you soon. I'm going to say hello to Martin Malloy. Hello, Martin.
Ryan, how are you getting on? How
it's
are
nice
you?
To talk to you. You have a direct connection with the tragedy in California, excuse me. Could you tell us a little bit about that, please?
Oh, Olivia Burke, one of the girls who was over there, passed away. And she worked for ourselves. I just have a coffee shop restaurant up in Carrick Mines. And she worked for us for about, I suppose it got to about 2 years between full and part-time and stuff while she was in college. And it's just very, very, very sad. It's just... just unbelievable. I couldn't believe it yesterday when I heard it. Just crazy, crazy stuff.
I'm looking at a picture of her here.
Yeah. She's a beautiful girl.
Yeah. And she's got the hoodie on and the hair up like every other girl her age. Doing
she
what
sure does, yeah.
Working. And you know what I love? I meet girls like her and boys like her in coffee shops and restaurants all over the place, making a few quid to put themselves through, you know, college for spending
yeah,
money, whatever.
Yeah.
She was
That's
one of.
Exactly what she was doing.
Yeah. What was she doing? Tell us about her.
She was just, she was just great. She just had this smile of just, I suppose, you could be a load of cliches and whatever, but she genuinely just had a smile that would light up a room. She was just a really, really beautiful person. She was just, I have to say, great worker and great to work with, and just, she just had a zest for life, and she just loved it, you know. She wanted to grab it by the horns and just have a great time, you know what I mean?
And is that where she was from, up around Carrick Mines, Olivia?
Yeah. She was Fox Rock direction.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, and it was just, God, she'd be with us for like, she's been with us for a good while, you know what I mean? And she started off and she hadn't really done it before, and she just she caught to it pretty quick, and she was great, you know. And all the girls there loved her, and I have to say, just on behalf of myself and all the girls up in Barry and Brown up there, our condolences to her, her family, her friends. It's just devastating. All the girls are just absolute bits up there.
I can only imagine. I mean, when you go into a coffee shop like yours there in Carrick Mines, and you meet somebody like you would have met Olivia, and she was probably in the course of events saying, you know, what are you doing for the summer? She'll be giving you all the plans and the excitement.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, she was. She had relations over there as well, and that kind of thing. And but she had family there And she'd been over on holidays whilst working with us and stuff. She'd been over to holidays with them there and stuff. And she had great plans for her summer. And then she was like, she was going to come back to us for after the summer. And it was like when she went back to college and stuff and come back on the weekends and part time and all that. She asked me specifically, could she come back and would there be a job there for her? I said, of course, because she's great. You know, she's just a great, great girl.
So when did it become apparent to you, Martin, that that the news was the most awful news?
Well, I heard yesterday. Like through media, obviously through bits of media, whatever, that had been a tragedy in California. We just said at work, my God, just, I think Olivia's gone over there. And I said, I hope. Obviously, we were like, hope that nothing happened to her or any of her friends. And then I heard somebody popped into the shop to me, I guess, the evening before I left and said, I think Olivia was one of the girls who was hurt in that accident in California. And I was like, Jesus, I just hoped that it wasn't her, or if it was her, that she nothing too bad happened to her, or whatever, you know what I mean? And our worst fears came to pass then yesterday evening at about, I suppose, at 6:30, I got a definite word that she had passed away.
How did you feel?
Oh, just devastated, like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm a father of two kids myself, and it's putting myself in that position, it's just words. Be honest, Ryan, just couldn't describe just how you'd feel. It was just I personally at the time just thought, oh, it's just terrible. Do you know what I mean? Just this cloud just comes over me. It's just awful. But just her parents, my heart goes out to her parents and her family. It's just devastating. That's the only word. It's just devastating.
I suppose it's as I'm looking at the faces, the six faces this morning. All I'm thinking of is, these are six faces that should be coming home.
Yeah.
You know, full of stories.
Full of
divilment and fun and thinking about the year ahead and maybe going back to work in your coffee shop and, you know, telling their families about the mess they got up to over in California.
Yeah.
And now, you know, you guys and you and your staff in the coffee shop, you know, I think it'll hit home in the next few days just how horrible this has been, and the poor families have to face into the trip over there and bring them home.
God, yeah.
I mean, it's just beyond comprehension, really.
Yeah, but even when I saw it on the news this morning, it's just a lump in your throat. It's just even talking to you now, you know, it's upsetting, and it is. You know what I mean? It's just horrendous, horrendous, horrendous thing to happen to anybody. Do you know what I mean? It's just awful.
Yeah, it probably doesn't feel very real. You know, when you hear something awful has happened and in the United States and involved Irish people, you think, well, it's grand. It won't involve anyone I know.
Yeah,
you always feel immune, don't you?
And then you feel removed a bit from it. You do, absolutely.
Exactly.
Because it's whatever, 8,000 miles, whatever it is. Do you know what I mean? It's still the other side of the world, pretty much. And it's just, yeah, you do feel very removed from it. You do, like.
Yeah.
And then when you see that, when you get a final word through, and then like that, you see all the media this morning, the papers, the internet, the news, and you see her face there. It's just, Christ, you're going, my God, like, how, why? All those questions, do you know what I mean? It's just crazy, crazy stuff.
Yeah, it's going to be a difficult time, no doubt, for you and your colleagues, but can you imagine what the family have to go through? So we'll be thinking of them
all
six and extended family.
Yeah.
Martin, do you know what? I'm kind of, in a weird way, I'm glad we spoke to you, because it's nice to humanise a photograph.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
you told us about her smile. You told us about the excitement in her life. You told us about her kind demeanour. You told us about a girl who was full of the joys. And it's nice to bring life to what up until now has just been a picture.
Yeah, no, she was all the above. She was she just loved life, and she was out there living it and having a great time doing it and stuff. And just before we wrap up, Ryan, I just want to say that. It's just devastating and heartbreaking, and as the owner, and on behalf of all the staff, Olivia, her family, and all the other students and their families, are just heartfelt deepest sympathies to one and all. That's all I can say. Do you know what I mean? Like, no words can really describe it as such, but that's all I can muster at this time.
It's all any of us can say, really, at this point. Thanks for your time today, Martin. Look after yourself and look after your team there, your staff.
Will do.
And we appreciate your taking the call today.
No problem at all.
Take care. Talk to you soon.
Okay.
Best of luck.
Okay, bye-bye. Thank you.
You.